Nowadays, movies, you pay $20, you see a lot of rubbish, garbage. But this one is worth it.
All right, you guys, I am back to once more upset an entire fan base by reviewing a movie based off of a book that I did not read. But yeah, let's talk about Dune 2. So to kind of refresh everyone's memories, Dune 1, in my opinion at least, ended in a bit of a strange place. Of course, we have our protagonist, Paul Atreides, played by Timothée Chalamet, who's really coming up. He's in like a lot of stuff, high profile stuff lately. He is down on his luck, having survived an assassination attempt and really being the last surviving member of his house, House Atreides. He and his mother, Lady Jessica, are basically wandering through the desert, not having a good time, but eventually they stumble upon a group of Fremen, the locals on Arrakis. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the first movie, kind of weird that you're here watching a review of the second movie if you still haven't seen the first one though. But once Paul and his mother encounter these Fremen, Paul does enter a fight to the death with one of them that he wins, and kind of through that gains acceptance, tentative acceptance into this Fremen community. So that is where Dune Part 1 ended, which again, I thought was a little bit strange, but Dune Part 2 picks up right where we left off. And if you guys aren't new to this channel, you'll know that when I review a movie or a film, usually I'll do this whole play-by-play, what exactly happens in the plot, we'll go through it all together. But because this movie is 3 hours long, if I try to do that here, I'm not going to say we would be here all day, but we would basically be here for 3 hours. So in lieu of that, I will more briefly say that in Dune 2, we follow Paul Atreides' journey, I guess, becoming acquainted with the Fremen, assimilating to their lifestyle and learning how they survive in the desert. And with him through this journey are his mother, Lady Jessica, as well as Stilgar, one of the Fremen leaders, who is like Paul's biggest fan, like get you a man who looks at you the way that Stilgar looks at Paul. He is 100% of the belief that Paul is the chosen one. He is the Messiah. He is who is going to deliver the Fremen people to freedom. And we also have Chani, or Chani. Yes, Chani. Please, please don't bully me, Dune fans. She, played by Zendaya, she kind of serves as his mentor, guiding him in the ways of the Fremen people, but along the way also becomes a little more than that, in the form of his love interest. And while all this is happening, while Paul is adapting to his new life with the Fremen people and helping them fight back against House Harkonnen, Paul is also grappling with his status as someone who has been prophesied to save all of these people. And kind of in addition to focusing on Paul's perspective, Dune 2 also features storylines involving, I'm gonna butcher this name, guys, please be gentle with me, Princess Irulan, who's the Emperor's daughter. She's a new addition in this movie. And in this film, we also spend a lot more time with House Harkonnen, who are basically the bad guy space skinheads. We see a lot more of them, their perspective, and their background in Part 2, specifically through Fade Ratha Harkonnen. All of these names are going to be said wrong. I'm so sorry. But he's played by Austin Butler. So you got a nice ensemble cast here. And guys, I'm not going to bury the lead here. I'm sure you've all already heard most people's opinions of this film. This is a good movie. And in fact, this is one of the best made movies that I have seen in a long time. It is entertaining and it is beautifully made and acted. Like the level of care and dedication and ingenuity and just attention to detail that you can tell people put into this film, it's not something that we see a lot from Hollywood, and it's certainly, certainly not something that we see from studios like Disney or Marvel anymore, which is just, it's so frustrating to say, but it's true. Like, especially as an adaptation to an already popular IP, the care that you can tell went into making this film, like the attention to detail, it's just not something that we see when we look at, I don't know, films from Disney like The Little Mermaid, that remake. And in an age where it seems like every month or every other month, Disney is trying to push some new Marvel film down our throats, it is just nice to see a filmmaker like Denis Villeneuve take his time and invest resources into making something as good as it could possibly be. And like I kind of mentioned, the dedication to craft, it's not just like the cinematography, the costumes and all that. It also extends to the actors. Timothée Chalamet is very coolly becoming one of my favorite actors now, especially having seen him in Wonka. I mean, I maintain his outfit choices from what I've seen on the red carpet. Questionable, Not my jam, but I mean, the man has talent. I wasn't blown away by his acting in part one. Not that I thought that he was bad, but it was just kind of like, okay. But in part two, he really, I think, is given the material to shine, and he absolutely steps up to the challenge. Austin Butler, the guy who plays the Harkonnen weirdo, he is also someone who I think stood out. His performance was just unsettling, but in a good way. This is a guy who's meant to be a total creep, and he comes off as just like a huge weirdo. So props to him for that. Florence Pugh, she's always great. She is great in this, but she didn't get as much screen time. Zendaya, she's fine. I don't necessarily have anything bad to say about her acting, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't leave me breathless. Christopher Walken, now that is someone who I don't think fit in this movie. And he's basically the only person I have to say that about. But as soon as he had his first lines, I was definitely taken out of the film and was basically just thinking, wow, that is certainly Christopher Walken being Christopher Walken. I don't think it was perfect. I mean, no movie is perfect. And so I guess with that in mind, here are my criticisms of Dune. Now, because Dune Part 1 and Part 2 are based off a single book, I do think it makes sense to look at both films as like two halves of a whole project, that being the adaptation of the book Dune. And I would say that now, having seen Part 2, I definitely feel like there are some pacing issues here. I mean, I think it's safe to say that there is definitely more action in part two than in part one. But overall, through both films and just the two films together as a whole, I feel like there is probably too much time spent on Paul kind of chilling in the desert to be entertaining as a film. And I understand that that is a lot of what the book actually is. And of course, you know, if we want to remain true to that, there has to be some of that in the film. But I just feel like because film as a medium is obviously different than the written word, there are some parts of the story that are going to lend themselves better to the big screen. And, you know, Paul and Chani just chilling, hanging out in the desert. Those were low points for me in the film, and there were a lot of them. Also, once more, trying to be as understanding as possible of the Herculean task of adapting something like Dune to the big screen. I understand that, you know, this is actually a book that took place over quite a long period of time, but still, when watching the film, I felt like there was a lot of inconsistency over how much time was passing. I felt like, you know, for certain scenes, time was almost moving too slowly, like, okay, let's get out of the desert. But then in other cases, especially when action was involved, it was like things were moving too fast. I mean, trying to deal with telling a story that takes place over a large period of time, as well as one that's complex, it's one of the reasons why I think that something like this is probably way better suited to being a series than a movie. In part one, while watching it, especially for the first time, there are a lot of things happening, a lot of words being used that I had to ask my husband about just because I could not, even from context, figure out what was going on. But in part two, I definitely felt like that was less of a problem, that the script did a much better job than in part one. I suppose holding the audience his hand when necessary, just making sure that they could understand what was going on, because there's a lot of context that the book is probably going to give you that simply isn't going to make it on screen or doesn't fit or make sense in the medium or whatever it is. But unlike with part one, I left part two feeling pretty sure that I understood everything that was going on. So if you ask me, is Dune part two worth checking out? I would say the answer is absolutely yes. And I would even say, go see it in theaters. I know it's more expensive and everything's more expensive nowadays. So justifying like $20 to see a movie, it's increasingly harder, but this is one of those rare films where I feel like the cinematography, the setting, and even the sound does justify the extra expense and the extra effort to, yes, get your butt to a theater so you can enjoy it. And now, I have at this point seen other people's review of the film, and one of the criticisms I've seen other people make is of the character Chani, that she's kind of annoying and abrasive and entitled. Now, for the umpteenth time, I have not read the book, so I don't really have a book version of Chani to compare Zendaya's character to, but just going off what I've seen in the film, I mean, I would have to say that, yeah, that's kind of accurate. She's not a very likable character. I don't necessarily know if I see or believe the appeal she would have for Paul in this. But I mean, this is 2024, and in an era where obnoxious girl bosses have basically become the norm, I have to say that Chani is definitely not the worst that we've seen, and I by no means think that she makes this movie unwatchable. Those are my thoughts basically, though, and as always, here is what Papa Chen has to say.
Papa actually was quite average. This part two everything was superbly done. And also, when I was looking at the budget, it only 190 million. But when you consider like Madame Web, 100 million, not even come close. I really enjoyed this movie, and I was really happy that I watched it in IMAX. In my opinion, right now, since Star Wars finished, this one will continue. The saga will continue. I would highly recommend it. As a matter of fact, I will watch it again with my wife, maybe Monday or Tuesday. Nowadays, movies, you pay $20, you see a lot of rubbish, garbage. But this one is worth it.
So those are our takes. And as always, we want to hear from you guys. Have you seen Dune Part 2? And if so, what do you think? And are you hopeful that there's going to be a Part 3? Do you want Denis Villeneuve to make a Part 3? Let me know down below. If you enjoyed this video, please be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Until next time.